At Bounce, we're proud to have a business that really kind of reflects the surrounding community, both in terms of our customer base and in terms of our staff, which includes a pretty high proportion of immigrants and dreamers.
In association with Business Forward, this is Answering America. I'm your host, Ed Meyer.
And I'm Jim Doyle, president of Business Forward Foundation.
We're going to get beyond the policy talk that you hear in D.C. all the time on this podcast and talk to real local business leaders who are asking real questions that are going to shape the 2020 election. And we're going to focus on folks that are in the middle of the country, get away from the coast for a bit. And then we're going to circle back and talk to those Washington policy experts. But first and foremost, we want to hear what people are asking. We want to hear their perspective. And we want to prepare you, the podcast listener, on ways you could talk about these issues that can be effective with your neighbors, your colleagues, your family at the dinner table. Jim, you think that the most important way to talk about some of the most important issues in America is to listen to the business leaders and talk about the data, the facts, the analysis from a business case perspective. Why is this important?
Well, politicians in Washington are talking past each other, and nothing's getting done, and everyone in the country is frustrated.
You think so?
Yeah. The way our approach to this is, there are a lot of people in the middle who care about climate change, and they want immigration reform, and they want to make healthcare available to more people, but they've got some questions. And if we want to get anything done, we've got to get these people on board. And the way to do that is to make sure we respect the questions they're asking, we answer them fully, and then we train them to explain these points to their friends, their neighbors, their colleagues. So on climate change, people will say, "Hey, I believe in climate science, but can we afford to fix it?" On immigration reform, we tend to hear a lot of people saying, "I like immigrants, but I want to know what they mean for my wages, what do they mean for my tax bill?" And on healthcare, we tend to hear people saying, "Look, I want more people to be covered, but I like my insurance that I'm getting from my employer. What do all these proposals mean for me?"
And how has Business Forward helped guide that conversation and help local business leaders brief folks in Washington?
Sure. We've been working for about 10 years, and we've helped about 100,000 business leaders work with mayors, governors, members of Congress, senior administration officials. And these are business leaders who care about the issue, have a lot to say, but also have businesses to run. So what we do is we organize briefings around the country, Washington fly-ins, media trainings. We'll do whatever it takes to help a local business leader who wants to get involved in a way that's meaningful and efficient.
On today's episode, we ask the question, is America full? And we're speaking with Ryan Clancy, the owner of Bounce Milwaukee, which is an awesome bounce house in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that also serves beer. Sounds like my kind of bounce house, Jim.
That's a product innovation right there.
There you go. We're also speaking with Marshall Fitz, the managing director on immigration at the Emerson Collective and a true expert in the field. Well, welcome to Answering America, Ryan. Great to have you with us. Tell us a little bit about Bounce Milwaukee.
Yeah, so Bounce Milwaukee is a family entertainment center. It's here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We've got laser tag, rock climbing, axe throwing, bar and restaurants, and a really fantastic both clientele and staff.
It can't be a business in Milwaukee without throwing the bar in there, I guess, huh?
Exactly. No, yeah. Even my auto mechanic has a bar in the back of his shop. So it's kind of part of the culture here.
Let's move.
So tell us a little bit about your company and your employees and your clientele that visit Bounce Milwaukee.
Yeah. So at Bounce, we're proud to have a business that really kind of reflects the surrounding community, both in terms of our customer base and in terms of our staff, which includes a pretty high proportion of immigrants and dreamers.
Of your dreamer population, what would happen if your dreamer colleagues were deported tomorrow and more restrictive immigration policies were implemented? How would that impact your business?
Honestly, our dreamer employees are some of our favorite and best employees. They're the ones that that are really invested in our communities. I mean, you know, they're attending our colleges. They're you know, paying taxes. They really are kind of the backbone of our community. They're also kind of more some of the most plugged in people in our community. They're the ones that are out there volunteering and really much more civically active than is typical.
How have President Trump's policies and rhetoric impacted your Dreamers employees directly?
The rhetoric really has changed things. I think we actually signed on to a movement called the Sanctuary Restaurants Movement, where we agreed to have an explicit policy in place so that if customers are, you know, homophobic or xenophobic or anything else, that we address that immediately and kind of remove those customers. And we have a kind of a zero tolerance policy on that.
I'd love to hear your perspective on how Milwaukee stacks up in terms of opening their arms, being welcoming, compared maybe to other cities in America and for talent coming from immigrants.
The city of Milwaukee is actually struggling with that. There's been a huge outcry from organizations doing great work on the ground here in Milwaukee, including Voces de la Frontera, to demand that, that our local police, Milwaukee Police Department, does not collaborate with ICE. Because we've seen over the course of the last couple of months, you know, hardworking, you know, families ripped apart when Milwaukee Police Department has been collaborating with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The city can and should take a strong stand and say that is not acceptable in our communities. Nobody benefits from, you know, from employees being ripped away from their employers and from the communities that they've contributed to for so long. Certainly families don't benefit when a breadwinner is ripped from them too.
Well, you're going to get a lot of attention over the next year, not you personally, but you as your city and your state as 2020 comes around. A lot of focus will be there at the presidential election, of course. If let's say you had 10 candidates that were up on a stage and you had an opportunity to ask them one question on immigration, what would you ask them?
What will you do at the national level and to support communities that want to have that autonomy to protect our, you know, refugee and immigrant neighbors?
Well said.
Well said.
Are there any sort of lessons that you've learned managing a diverse workforce that Washington should hear about?
Absolutely. I mean, we are strongest when we're the most diverse. As a relatively young small business, all of our best ideas have come from our employees. Having more and different backgrounds and cultures to draw from make us a stronger and better company. And when we have more immigrants, when we have more diversity in our workforces, in our communities, we all benefit.
Tell us, Ryan, what would, if I were walking into Bounce tonight to hang out, what would be the number one thing you think I would want to do there?
Oh, man, I meet all of our amazing staff. And after you've done that, they can show you how to throw an axe and drink a beer with both hands.
I want to try this axe throwing. That seems to be the craze in the country.
Yeah, coming in. Love to have you.
Thank you very much, Ryan. Really appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. Thanks
all right.
much.
Thank you. All right. We're happy to welcome Marshall Fitz, immigration policy expert. Welcome to the podcast today.
Thanks a lot. Great to be here.
Everyone says we want to create an economy where anyone who plays by the rules can succeed, create a better life for themselves and their family. And President Trump really struck a chord in many Americans on the 2016 campaign by railing against people who didn't play by the rules, who came to this country without proper documentation. And, you know, frankly, his message appealed to a lot of people, especially in the Midwest. What do you say to those people who simply say, look, we're just asking immigrants to follow the rules?
Well, look, it's a perfectly legitimate concern, and I think it's one that we all share. No one except the smugglers and the cartels are profiting off of illegal immigration. People want to come here legally. Employers want to hire workers with legal status. And all Americans want a fair and orderly system. The problem has been that the rules themselves are broken. In a way that has forced really hard choices for people with the best of intentions. We've got an integrated North American labor market and had one for decades. And the problem has been, and this is what's led to the illegality or the people coming without status or overstaying their visas, is that Congress has failed to regulate and manage that integration. Our policies and laws are completely disconnected from the realities of that regional integration that I was just mentioning. Our policies don't allow for willing workers and willing employers to get matched up, to get synced up. And most of those workers really have no legal avenue to come into the United States. There is no line for them to get into. So that's kind of the linchpin of all of this. And that failure to align our policies with the needs and realities of our economy has led to the creation of a big undocumented workforce. And so that's really something that doesn't serve anyone's interest. It doesn't serve businesses' interests because they're pushed to hire workers and be somewhat vulnerable to the government because they're hiring people off the books.
That really gets to my next question, which, you know, President Trump has said we're full as a country, that there's just no more jobs. And to the question of legal immigration, should we expand it or restrict it? He says we should restrict it because immigrants and refugees are taking American jobs. Is there any truth to this? Are we full as a country?
Well, we're definitely not full. We've got plenty of room. Just ask some of the small towns and cities, and especially in rural parts of the country that are getting hollowed out by an exodus of youth to larger cities or regions that have new and different opportunities. Many local economies and communities would have disappeared altogether by now without immigrants and refugees coming in and revitalizing them. U.S. fertility rate has been below replacement level. It's at record lows. It's been below replacement level for over a decade, meaning that without immigration, our population would be shrinking both quickly and fairly significantly. And as the baby boomers continue to age out of the workplace, we need young workers more than ever to sustain economic growth, as well as to sustain the viability of our social welfare systems like Social Security. So we're decidedly not full unless we want to see our economy contract pretty significantly.
One of the things that we've been studying in the Midwest is that problem is particularly bad there. Mm-hmm. And they're older to start with, they're aging faster, and there's a negative cycle that you get into where property values begin to drop, investment drops, and then your young workers start leaving for bigger cities, and it just gets worse. That's and exactly. The only thing that can really break that cycle is immigrants. And so, in the Midwest, when we talk to business leaders, they think about this in terms of a competition for talent and a competition for people, for business. And one of the things that they've pointed out in the last couple of years is just how well Toronto is doing at the Midwest's expense. It's the fastest growing city in North America. Last year, the Bay Area and New York City each added about 9,000 tech jobs. Toronto added 28,000 tech jobs. Wow. 1 year.
Marshall, another tool that Business Forward often employs is comparisons and comparisons with other countries to really see how we're doing in the United States. If we look at Japan as an example, a lot of experts have studied Japan's population, and the latest estimates say that by 2040, one in three Japanese people will be over the age of 65. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty astounding. And the Economic Innovation Group sounded the alarm bells recently in finding that 41% of counties in the United States are experiencing rates of total population and working age population loss as bad or worse than Japan during the past 10-year period. Is this a fair comparison? Do you see a scenario where we're headed down the path of Japan with these policies?
Well, it's really clear that if it wasn't for immigration, the United States would be shrinking and aging at rates like Japan and most of the Western world. Again, our median the median age of our population is well below those of most Western countries and Japan and other advanced economies. So the question is whether we'll embrace our immigrant heritage and our identity and continue to welcome immigrants to our shores, or whether we're going to walk down this garden path that this administration has charted for us. It's a path of isolation and exclusion. And our current system admittedly is rigid and outdated and has forced employers and workers to work around rather than through the system. But Trump is really compounding those challenges by deliberately trying to choke off legal immigration.
So some cities in America are taking their own action, right? So they're saying, look, we're going to be welcoming cities. We're going to have welcoming economies. And I'm very proud as a Dallas native and Dallas resident that my city of Big D has been one of those cities and has opened up an office of welcoming communities that my friend runs in the city office. And there are other cities across the Midwest that that are doing this too. And sticking with those that start with D, that Dayton and Detroit come to mind.
Yeah, I'm from Detroit. We think of when we think of the Big D, we think Detroit. I don't know what this Dallas thing is.
Hey man, yeah, we're Big D Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. When the Lions are like Big D, then you can come talk to me.
Okay, that's a low blow.
Yeah. Here we go. Yeah.
But what have we learned, Marshall, from cities like this, from these experiences in cities that are welcoming and inclusive and opening?
Well, these are great initiatives. Cities really are where the action is at. It's where the rubber meets the road in terms of social policy. Mayors know better than anyone that inclusive policies are critical for healthier communities. They can't afford to divide their constituents like a populist demagogue like President Trump has. They have to lean into some of the hard challenges and uncomfortable realities that come with different populations and fluctuations of the demographics of communities. And having a population that is marginalized or excluded or isolated, that just creates community tensions and dynamics that undermine social cohesion and undermine everything that a mayor is trying to do.
Let's assume that Trump isn't reelected. Do we have a shot at coming up with some kind of meaningful bipartisan legislation in the next a new administration?
It feels hard to be optimistic about that in the current moment. But that said, there is overwhelming public support, and there has been for a long time, for comprehensive immigration reform that meets the fundamental bipartisan elements that have been in every iteration of it for the last 15 years, that is new, flexible, legal immigration channels that allow people to come lawfully and work lawfully, that allow families to be reunited, that legalizes the undocumented population, that fixes the border in a way that makes legality the norm. These are things that have overwhelming support by Americans across parties. We're talking like 75%, 80% support.
Right.
The solutions are here. They're available. We know what they are. We know how to fix this. We just need the political will to do it.
Thank you, Marshall, for that and for other insights that you've shared with us today. Well, I think we can all agree that there's one very important thing we've learned on this episode of Answering America, and that is that Big D indeed stands for Dallas and not Detroit. So... All right, Jim, so that wraps up this episode. Is America full? Did we answer the question?
The one thing that stood out for me was talking about this idea that they're not sending their best, and that's wrong in two ways. First, we're getting some very educated, productive immigrants coming to the country. But then the second is it sort of misses the point that there's an upside to the policies we have in family unification, where you've got people coming in and they're greeted by a family, which means they're more successful.
You know, and on TV we see so much about the border wall and these awful images of people in cages at the border, and we didn't really hear that once on the conversation today. People are talking about businesses, they're talking about communities, they're talking about jobs, because that's what's impacting their their livelihood. And these communities need immigrants. They want to be welcoming and opening, because it's not only the right thing to do, but it's the right thing for their bottom line.
It's good for business.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And for more facts, data, and analysis, visit answeringamerica.org. and read all about the questions that business leaders are asking across America. Thank you for joining us, and we'll look forward to talking to you on the next episode.
Thank you very much.
Answering America is a production of Business Forward, hosted by me, Ed Meyer, and Jim Doyle. Produced by Jim Scott Polsonelli and Michael Herrenstein. Engineered by Mason Carlton. Recorded at Powerhouse Studios in Alexandria, Virginia. Special thanks to Caitlin Bruckner and the Business Forward team, Ali Berry, Jana Platt, Alex Passanen, Susie Fitzgerald, Alexia Lipman, and Colin Buchanan. Thanks for listening. See you next time.